Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Molly Hall. 5 at 5 with Molly and Hall starts now.
How will David Montgomery's rolled ankle in practice affect the Bears' offense against the Rams, who will step up in Montgomery's absence to become a factor? Or do you think Montgomery finds a way to play?
Well, come on now. It's a lightly sprained ankle. It's a lightly rolled ankle. Let's not get carried away. I think this is really interesting. I think that this particular player, this particular injury, speaks volumes about where the Bears are at in terms of their drafting. I think David Montgomery's a tough guy. I think he's going to find a way to play. I also think the Bears traded up to get him. They gave up the 87th pick, 162, and another 2024th round pick. They gave up a 2024th round pick to make a trade with New England to make sure they got David Montgomery. So what did they do? They got rid of Mike Davis for what they hope is a 2024th round pick. So they were basically trying to recoup the pick they lost by trading up for David Montgomery. I think that's lost on everyone. And we ought to get into some of this draft talk and moving up stuff. But I personally believe that David Montgomery is going to play in the game. I think the fact that they tried to couch it with the lightly indicates that they want him to play. I think he's a tough kid. I think he's going to play. If he doesn't, then I think it's going to be Tariq Cohen and Ryan Nall.
Durability was a strength at Iowa State for David Montgomery.
And he had a cramp line there.
Yeah, and that's the truth. And he made his own yards, and he runs hard, and I think he runs downhill. I like a lot of what I see, especially when you look at the stats and the, you know, the analytics, if you will, and you see how he doesn't get, you know, the stuffed runs. They don't pile up for him. He definitely gets you positive yardage. And I think that this is something they had to put on the injury report. I'm surprised the way they couched it, because it doesn't really, you know, kind of put some pressure on him to play. But I think that they probably are also aware of that, and he likely will play. I think it's time if he does play, and I think everyone expects that. He's got to do something. The Bears have to do something to change this growing narrative about how much they miss Jordan Howard. And I know that I was one of those guys who said that they would miss Jordan Howard, particularly at the time of the year we're entering. When it gets cold, when the elements change. I know it's not going to be like that in L.A., certainly. But you've got 7 games to go. You've got, you know, a tough December schedule. You get the point of the season last year when Jordan Howard started to establish the Bears' identity as a pretty good running team between the tackles. I'm not sure they are right now. Actually, I know that they're not. So this is a chance against the Rams to establish the run, get your rookie going, make sure that he's moving downhill. And if he doesn't play for some reason, then you're going to gimmick your way through another game. But if he is healthy, line up in the I formation, take the gimme, and get your guy going, because you have to establish something that you believe in and helping your quarterback.
Yeah, over the past 3 games, I believe, Montgomery's carried the ball 58 times. So Nagy has committed or recommitted. Maybe it's the first time he's committed, but he has tried to establish the run a little bit more than he was during the season, when he would just give him the ball, what, 3-4 times. We saw in some games he would refuse to run the ball. So this is a really bad time for this injury to pop up. The fact that he used the word lightly makes me think he will play, but I that's just off the top of my head. I mean, who will step in? It'll probably be Ryan Nall. I said it sort of jokingly in the first segment, but Tariq Cohen is, while he's a very dynamic player, and you can certainly draw some plays up to get him involved, he's not a between the tackles, you know, give him the ball 15, 20 times and punch it up the gut. That is definitely not what he is. That's not going to happen. There's probably a reason they kept Ryan Nall around on the practice squad. for these last couple of seasons. And if this is indeed his shot, I think he's going to get a decent shot at it. Hopefully Montgomery does find a way to play. Again, the timing on this, they just cut Mike Davis. It couldn't be any worse for the Bears, but I'm really hoping that the word lightly indicates that he will play Sunday.
I agree, because if you don't have David Montgomery in there, that doesn't bode well for the Bears' running game at all. I mean, I don't have high hopes or high expectations that if he can't play or is extremely limited and we see a lot of Ryan Nall, that he'll be able to accomplish anything. So I think he will play if they're calling it lightly rolled. If he ends up being limited or does not play, they're going to have to find a way to get some things going for Tariq Cohen, get some Tariq Cohen-friendly plays going where he can be effective and establish some kind of semblance of a running game for you. But I hope that this is not something that really holds Montgomery back, and hopefully on Monday we're saying, wow, that lightly rolled ankle didn't really mean anything.
He's on the injury report, right? That's not the question. So they're not looking to get in trouble from the NFL if they don't let us know, not us, but let the league know that something's not right with him. And so I'm almost wondering, like, why go out of your way to, is the player soft? Are they questioning him? Do they need to say this to kind of to motivate him to get it in gear and know the difference between, as the great John Fox said, the difference between an ouchie and an injury? There's a difference, and you got to know what that difference is. Listen, it could have a huge effect. This Bears offensive line is not prepared for 45 pass attempts from MVP Mitch. Okay, they're just not.
Oh, you went
okay.
There.
I had
okay,
to go
Michael.
There. Okay, I had to go there, but yeah. They're just not. And could Ryan Nall do it? Maybe. I mean, I'd give Tariq Cohen the first chance, though. I wouldn't just go to the whoever the backup is, Ryan Nall, right away. I'd at least give Tariq Cohen the chance. Let's just hope he takes a shot at Toradol, tapes it up, and we're not talking about this on Monday morning.
It's a good question, man, and a timely one.
What should happen to Myles Garrett after the ugly incident that involved ripping Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph's helmet off and then using it to attack him? Could there be any explanation that justifies that kind of response? And is it the worst thing you've seen on a football field?
It's close. I mean, have to put it in the conversation. The Albert Haynesworth, you know, stomping on somebody's head or neck, I think that was pretty bad. You think of some other incidents that come to mind. That was inexcusable. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Cleveland Plain Dealers deep dive into the 2017 draft to see why the Browns didn't meet with Myles Garrett to find out he was capable of such a thing. I think at this point, you've got to look at minimums, the end of the season. I think beyond that might be a little bit extreme, and it might be something that you look at as but I don't want to say that yet. I want to hear how he explains himself. I didn't see how he explained himself last night. There's no place for this in professional sports. There's no place for this in any sports at any level. This wasn't unsportsmanlike conduct. This wasn't just a loss of temper. This was assault. And this was something that could rise to the level of litigation. If you're Mason Rudolph, you have to consider any and all options because it was that bad. And when you look at the ramifications, when you look at the discipline, it's, you know, the next morning, the day after, might be too soon to consider all of those options, but I think they're all on the table.
Look, I that's as bad as anything I've seen on the football field. That was really awful. And if I'm the Browns, I just suspend the guy for the rest of the year. Just get ahead of the league on it, right? I mean, why mess around with it? He should not play the rest of this season. I think he needs to then do some counts. They got to do something about it. You cannot have that happen on a football field. The very idea that they've written a rule about it, Mike Pereira taught us, I did not know there was a rule in the book that you can't take the guy's helmet off and hit him in the head with it. But effectively, they have that rule. You can't tear a guy's helmet off and use it as a weapon. What does that tell you?
Is there precedent for that? Because I thought the same thing. Would they have language to prevent it? It must have happened.
Well, we know it happened in practice, right?
Yeah.
With the Oakland Raiders. Well, we know Kyle Long did it in practice here.
We don't
right?
know how bad that was, but yeah.
Yeah, but we know that, what was his, who was the crazy Oakland Raider.
Alzado?
Which one?
No, the linebacker with the Niners who then went to Oakland.
Romanowski.
Bill Romanowski took a guy's helmet off and broke his jaw in practice with the helmet, right? Took off the helmet, slapped him across the face, and broke his jaw. Was sued by the guy. I mean, it was as cheap and horrible. And we knew that Romanowski was all jacked up on God knows what, right? That's probably why he did it. He's talked about all his issues. And he came in here one time and he had his life coach with him. It was one of the weirdest interviews I've ever been associated with. But but he did that. So I've heard of it happening in practice. But to have that on a Thursday night game, I get it. Thursday night, people have to go to work. They don't stay for the end of it. It's in prime time. This is the NFL showing off its product in prime time. Oh, watch the guy beat the quarterback over the head with his helmet. I'm sorry. That is just not allowed. I thought the worst thing I saw was Albert Haynesworth stomping on a guy's head, and it just was as cruel and horrible a thing as you're ever going to see. But I got to tell you, this one takes the cake. This is absolute. It's a crime. It's criminal. The man could be arrested for it.
It was absolutely insane. Crazy. I mean, I just can't even get past it. It was one of, I don't know if it's the worst thing I've seen on a football field. I mean, we've seen some pretty heinous injuries. You see players paralyzed.
We've seen the Bears play on Sundays.
And we've had to watch a lot of bad Bears football over the years as well. But
I mean, the way that Cody Parkey attacked those uprights.
The first thing I thought of, though, when I saw this insanity was that Kyle Long did the same thing to his own teammate during a practice this year. And no, there wasn't video of that. We didn't see it. Had there been video, maybe we would have reacted differently, because that's, you know, the case with everything. If you see it and you can actually look at what's happening, it affects you more. But it was just crazy. I mean, I was in shock when it happened. And David, you're right. You brought up earlier Mason Rudolph, a guy with concussion history. He got his bell rung earlier this year, missed a game, I believe. There could be litigation coming from this. If he can't clear concussion protocol, if he can't play next week, if for some reason, you know, it kind of re-scrambled his eggs in there a little bit. I mean, he's missing game time. He's missing out on money there. There could absolutely be legal ramifications here. Just absolutely nuts. He should be suspended for the rest of the season at a minimum. And then I think you also look at maybe repercussions from next season as well, because this was just crazy. And it's a miracle that it wasn't worse. I mean, thank God Mason Rudolph wasn't bludgeoned on the football field last night. Just crazy.
Yet fortunately for Mason Rudolph, it was not worse. This could have been a even more serious situation, and it is a serious situation. But I agree with Kevin. Yeah, he should not play. Myles Garrett should not play for the rest of this season, and you should seriously look into him missing some games next season. There's no reason for this. This is absolute trash, and Myles Garrett is terrible for this. There's no explanation. Could there be an explanation that justifies this kind of response? I don't care what kind of trash talking is going back and forth or how heated it gets during a game. You're a professional. You don't do this. You just do not put another player in danger, albeit an opposing team. You just don't do this to another guy. You just don't. Is it the worst thing I've seen on the football field? I'll go a different direction here. Kevin alluded to injuries. And I thought of the scary moment in 2011 when Johnny Knox hurt himself.
Oh, horrible.
When he collided going for the ball against the Seahawks, I believe it was. That was a very scary moment. That might qualify as the worst thing. I know that's not a fight or an incident like that, but I'll say that was one of the worst things I've ever seen on a football field.
Well, there's plenty of worse football we've seen, and you guys pointed them all out. So you took all my ammo, but thanks. Listen, we all agree, and I don't care. Of course, the Players Association will, on the behalf of Garrett, will say, "Oh no, it's not fair." Where the commissioner at 7 o'clock, at 6 o'clock our time, at 7 a.m. Eastern time, he needs to be on NFL something. Okay, and saying, that's it, he's done for the year. There's no, we got to look at the tape, we got to interview people, we got to talk to, this is just common sense. Yeah. But what I do not want the authorities getting involved. This is not a legal situation. I don't want to see that, because that blurs the lines, then we have to make a two-hand touch. And that's this is way beyond well, that.
If Mason Ray tried to bludgeon him
with
a
Rudolph
helmet.
Wants to, if yeah, to, you know, it's I mean, up to him. And I don't think he will.
I don't
think he will
see that though.
It's kind of up to the victim.
Yes.
Well, okay. He is a victim.
I could go so far as to say he doesn't. If you want to make an example, that's it. He's done. Okay. Done. Go away. Thanks for playing. Get out. The Browns should just cut him and make another team.
Well, you
the Browns, there's so many jokes about the Browns out there, right? All most of them deservedly so. If they really wanted to make a statement, say, we're going to run an organization a certain way, okay, this isn't, and I don't want to hear this is, you know, Freddie Kitchens' fault. Well, if they would have had this guy as a coach or that guy as a coach, you know, look at Freddie Kitchens. Look at the way he keeps himself together. He's the reason. It's not Freddie Kitchens' fault. But as an organization, they should cut him this morning.
You can't cut him.
Why can't you?
Because you can't cut him. I mean,
he's too good, and you got too much invested in him.
Number one overall pick.
Vontaze Burfict is suspended for the rest of the year. This guy, and I would argue about this, Dustin. I really think that the head coach needs to have discipline with that team. That team was headhunting all night. That team is called for penalties.
That's their nature.
Like crazy.
So when you say you want Goodell out at 6 a.m. saying that they are going to do something league-wide to Myles Garrett, I want the Browns to beat them to it. I want the Browns to take action and say, all right, we are responsible for that kind of behavior, letting it fester, and we're not going to wait for the league to act. He's suspended for the rest of the season, and we'll revisit later discipline at another time.
I'm down with that, David.
A Steelers player is walking off the field with blood coming out of his ear after getting the late hit by the safety. That was so vicious, it was unbelievable. Now, it was a late hit to begin with. Maybe he was unlucky that he made contact helmet to helmet. I don't know if he was. But if you're going after people like that, there's something wrong with the coaching.
I have a few things I need to get through before I open it up to your questions.
The NFL released a list of 11 teams who will attend the Colin Kaepernick workout Saturday in Atlanta. The Bears are not yet on that list. Is this a big deal?
Look, I do not understand why the Bears wouldn't turn up for the thing. Why you wouldn't send somebody's secretary, some video guy. I mean, even if you don't want to take it seriously, What are they afraid of? What could possibly be wrong with sending a representative of some type just to make it look like you care? Why wouldn't you? I mean, if I'm Ryan Pace, I don't know. What is Ryan Pace doing? We don't know where he is. He talks to Jeff on a Friday. I don't know what he does after that. Does he show up at the game? Is he planning to go to L.A.? He should show up for this thing. Because guess what? You did not do a good job of getting quarterbacks here, pal. You did a terrible job with Mike Glennon, and Mitch is not working out right now. So look everywhere. Look under every stone. Try everything. If they're going to have, I mean, whatever you think about this, you should, if the New England Patriots are sending somebody, then guess what? That means there's something there. So I'm going too. I don't get it. I think it's stupid to not show up. I think it's disrespectful to the process of trying to get players. Listen, there's no under the table. There's no sneaky. What are they really worried about? Is Mitch? Is his feelings going to be hurt? Is the quarterback's psyche so frail that you can't even look at another player? Give me a damn break.
If I'm an NFL executive, I am sitting there and I'm watching what Bill Belichick does, and I am mimicking as much as I can. If the Patriots think it's worth their time to be in Atlanta to watch Colin Kaepernick throw and run and do whatever else he's going to do on Saturday at that workout, I'm there. I am there. Even if you think it's disingenuous for them to be there, if it's just a publicity stunt to cover yourself for your fan base, go. You never know what you're going to find out. Seeing is believing. And if he performs at a high level, I don't care. There's things that you can't see on videotape that will be available to all 32 teams. You're not that busy. You're not that important. You're not that good that you can risk missing out on something. Send a scout. Send, you know, an assistant general manager. Send somebody. Go yourself. I mean, really, can you not get from Atlanta to LA by Sunday night? What are you missing exactly? So I think that you look at the Cowboys are now going. The Seahawks are now going. The Patriots, last I checked, they have good quarterbacks as well. So you're not going. And it's going to look like, oh, we have no confidence in Mitch Trubisky. You're worried about that. well, maybe you should not have as much confidence in Mitch Trubisky and let him find out that this is the real world and people want your job, so you better do something to keep it. Go!
The Bears, objectively, have one of the worst quarterbacking situations in the NFL right now. They seemingly wasted a number two overall pick in a draft on a quarterback who's not very good. The backup is highly overpaid, and he's just there to be a coach and to get Mitch all ready for game day, apparently. And I don't even want to talk about Tyler Bray. And so the fact that the Bears are not going to, and maybe it'll change, and maybe, you know, they'll change their mind. Maybe somebody will be available, somebody, you know, a coffee gopher or whomever else, just to have representation there. But it will be a big deal if they do not have somebody there, because Mitch can't play. Chase Daniel probably won't be here very much longer. And if you're not even, you know, Mully, like you said, every stone overturned, whether it's Colin Kaepernick or anybody that can upgrade the quarterback position, if they're not exploring that option, it's a total failure organizationally.
Cardinals, Falcons, Browns, Broncos, Lions, Dolphins, Patriots, Giants, Jets, Buccaneers, Washington, the list of teams that are going to the Colin Kaepernick workout. Is it a big deal that the Bears are not on that list right now? I think if they don't go, yes, it's a big deal. I'm going to say it's not a big deal at the moment, as long as they go. As long as we come to find out Monday that they attended, they sent a representative. But it's a big deal if they just ignore this workout and bypass this workout. Because, I mean, do you think the Browns care about the optics of how it looks when their franchise QB, Baker Mayfield, who's been struggling all season, do you think they care about how he's going to feel if they, if you know, that the Browns are on this list, that they're attending this workout? No, they don't care. And the Bears shouldn't either. This is ridiculous if they don't attend. You have an extreme quarterback problem. You are entering quarterback hell because your franchise, your number two overall pick, you know, it has not panned out. You don't have a viable backup. You need to figure something out, and you can start with this workout.
You could start with this workout, okay? The great Mike Florio said every team's got some slappy they could send down there, okay? And depending on, you know, every team's got, every organization, everybody's got a slappy, okay? They could send somebody there. Everybody can't be that busy Saturday afternoon. But I think this show started it, and then the media jumped onto it. We basically guilted the Bears to go down to Soldier Field and turn on the lights and have Cody Parkey kick field goals at Soldier Field, where he kicks field goals on Sundays or Thursdays or Mondays, depending before the texters say, well, he could kick on a Thursday, he could kick on a Saturday. Okay, whatever day he's going to kick, that's where he kicks. Okay, you need to be there. Like, hopefully, I'm with Ray. Let's find out that they didn't send anybody. So I will, believe it or not, tap the brakes for a second. Let's see them not do it, and then let's come back and pile on.
Yeah,
on
because
Monday
they could still change their minds.
Absolutely.
Today. Absolutely.
And I hope that this conversation helps get that
Dustin,
rolling.
Dustin, that is tremendous restraint.
Well done. Amazing, isn't it?
It is.
See how in such a good mood we are on a Duncan Friday here?
Yeah.
It's just great.
You can't beat that question. You can try, but you can't beat that question.
After Thursday, Coby White is the youngest NBA player to hit 5 3-pointers in consecutive games. If the Bulls are down 2 and need a basket in the final possession, is White your first, second, third, or fourth option?
Well, I have to think after last 2 games, he'd be one of the top 2. Maybe Zach LaVine first, probably Coby White second. Where is Lauri Markkanen on that list? He has disappeared way too often. This is a guy that 7 times in 12 games, he has had 10 shots or fewer. And that is not the way you're going to take the next step if you're the Chicago Bulls. I love everything Coby White has to offer. I think at best, though, he's probably the second option, and I am still comfortable with him in the sixth man role. I think that kind of gives him an opportunity with the second unit to be the main scorer. Doesn't matter if he starts games, but I do care if he finishes them, especially if you need a big bucket late.
I got to tell you, I love Coby White. I love watching him play. I love when he's knocking down some threes. I don't mind it when he's just taking shots. I love the role they have him in. I think it's perfect for him because he is the scorer in that unit. And I love the way they bring in Dunn. And let me tell you something. I'm going to say this, and people are going to think I'm an idiot, but Ryan Arcidiacomo is absolutely one of my favorite Bulls all of a sudden because I loved his reaction when Kobe White was going off scoring and coming off the bench and the left hand. I got to tell you something. He is really working some charm on me. He hit a big shot last
night. That's confidence.
You know, you see – I can't believe I'm going to say this because I was so down on the guy, but Dunn does an amazing job defensively. He really comes in and
he's really good off the bench.
That's a good unit. Yeah. That is a good unit that you really like seeing. So I have no problem with the way they're using him. Should he be the option in a final shot? I don't think he'll ever get the chance because Zach LaVine's got the ball and he's taking it and everybody clear out. I'm going for the hole. That is. You know, it's all a problem, as a man once said. But I got to tell you, that is that's something else. Lauri Markkanen is he's just on my pay no mind list because I don't think he'd get a shot either. Because
would he want to take it?
Zach versus the world?
I mean, the way how passive Lowry's been, you know,
Lowry's been terrible.
First half he was aggressive, then he disappeared.
Yes,
I don't like it either because I really like Lauri Markkanen and I want him to be better. But this question's about Kobe White. It's about Zach LaVine because you guys talked about how many bad shots Zach LaVine took last night. And that's not exclusive to last night's game. He takes a lot of bad shots. He's a good player. But I think that maybe because he's making so much money, because he's, I guess, the guy, the de facto guy on this team, he feels like he has to take, you know, 50 shots a game. And, you know, he's got high ranking on Kobe White. You know, he's a rookie. He's coming off the bench, all that stuff. Ideally, Kobe White would be your first option, the way he's been shooting the ball and the way that he could catch fire this year. But I just think in terms of the pecking order, it's just not realistic at this point.
I'll say Kobe White, as hot as he is right now, is, I agree, this like a second option behind LaVine. Because LaVine is always going to be your number one guy when the game's on the line and you know, you've got just seconds left on the clock, but he's hot. He's looking good. This is exciting to watch his ascension, and I just hope he keeps dazzling us the way he is. And, you know, I'll say since we're entering the holiday season, on my sports Christmas wish list, one of the top items is for Lauri Markkanen to wake the hell up.
Ray, come on. It's November 15th. But you're making a Christmas list? Come on, Ray.
Yeah. But,
you
see
probably have a tree up already. You probably have your house decorated.
Yo, have you been in a Walgreens lately?
My gosh.
That place is wall-to-wall.
It's mid-November,
Christmas stuff.
Guys.
I ate a pound of peppermint bark last night.
Okay. I want some eggnog.
I want the stuff that goes with the eggnog. Listen, because Zach makes the most money, he's the top of the pecking order.
I think that's
the problem. I mean, but that's the problem. And Molly, while I agree with you that I like the instant offense as the sixth man, trust me, if this keeps continuing, if he keeps leading the Bulls in scoring or is right there, trust people are going to get in his ear and it's going to cause problems. He needs to start right now. I mean, let's put it this way. Saturday night against the Nets, and you hope it doesn't come to this, but if they're in a situation against the Nets,
exactly,
he better be option number when Jim Boylan hopefully calls a timeout, okay, and draws up a play, he better be the number one option.
That's what I
right
wondered.
Now,
what
period.
Will it be though? I think I'm with Mully. I think it's going to be Zach LaVine.
That's ridiculous because he makes the most amount of money?
No, because he feels more confident taking that shot.
Or he's going to pout because he didn't get to take the shot.
But he's just not going to give anyone else an opportunity to take it.
I mean, listen, in eighth grade basketball, they used to say, you know, look out, Dustin's got the ball, he's going for the hole, get out of the way. But, I mean, come on.
What?
You know, I'm glad you asked that question.
Let's just move along. What is your pick for the Bears game and why?
Look, I would love to see the Bears win. I think it's a very important game for the Bears, get back to 500 and give yourself a chance the rest of the year. But I think we're also we're basing a lot of our picks here on how bad the Rams have been, not how bad the Bears have been. And I just, the more I go through it in my head, I'm worried about the David Montgomery injury, the lack of help from the tight ends, not that you're getting much from him anyway, but for whatever reason, I just can't wrap my mind around the idea that the Bears are going to solve things. And I think that they're going to lose the game. I'll say it's a close game. I'll call it 19-17.
Crazy things happen in the NFL. I understand that this pick is based more on probably instinct than evidence. I just look at the Bears and I look at the Rams, and it's not Trubisky versus Goff. It's not the matchup that we thought. Maybe not even Aaron Donald versus Khalil Mack. I think that this is a battle of attrition, and the Bears' offensive line is bad. The Rams' offensive line is worse. I think that on Sunday night, Khalil Mack reminds the Bears fans of what they've been missing, and America discovers Nick Williams. Jared Goff goes down. Bears' defensive line dominates 23-20. Bears.
I think I agree with you, David. I think the Bears are going to win. I think the defensive line is going to wreak havoc on young, rich Jared Goff, and I think the Bears are going to win in what might be an ugly game, hopefully not as ugly as last year when these two teams met, but I think the Bears win 17-10.
I'm going to say that, it'll be a defensive battle, of course. Two weak offensive lines, two weak quarterbacks, but I'm going to go with the Rams taking it 24-13.
17-13 Rams, and how dare you call that game ugly last year? I mean, that was a thing
of beauty. That was bowling shoe ugly.
That was a thing of beauty. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the score is exactly the opposite. The Bears need to give me a reason to win. If this game was at Soldier Field, Jared Goff, get him a body bag. The guy does not want to be outdoors. He doesn't want to be in any kind of incremental weather. I just still worry about what the. Can the Bears drop back and throw the ball? And I feel like as much as the Bears' defensive line should have a good day, the Rams' defensive line is going to have even a better day.
All righty, that's it. That's the 5 at 5. 312-644-6767 is the number. It's Mullion Hawn score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.